Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Give you a little bit of history of our church. Our church started about 19 years ago, and just with a handful of people. And we just decided from the very beginning as a church that we wanted to be a generous church. We didn't have much, but I remember our first Sunday, even though there was only a handful of people there, we received an offering. We passed the containers to the few dozens of people. We started on Wednesday night, a couple Wednesdays, and then we kicked off and did some weekend trials, and then we kind of kicked off a big celebration Sunday with all 32 people. Celebration Sunday. That's what we called it. We had a picture in the paper of Dylan and I, and it was Celebration Sunday. I was in a suit. Can you believe that? And Dylan looked great as normal, and my hair was real bushy. And I can remember that picture in the paper, Celebration Sunday at Healing Place Church. We had experienced a couple services already. Our first service was just 12 people. And from the beginning of our church, the idea of being a healing place for a hurting world was in the front. We just decided right there in that inception to just be a church that gives. So let's tithe. Let's just give our tithe. So for several years, it was amazing what God did through the tithe. It just continues to do it today. It's just amazing. Watching God move in the hearts of those few people as a church. 9 years ago, we began focusing on giving over and above. We started an amazing journey and say, let's give over and above because we've got to have more facilities. We've got to reach more people. Our one service in our one building that we got down front, it's not enough. And we expanded that building. We doubled it. We started to purchase land. And we started a thing called Build the Vision. Some of you remember a little thing called Build the Vision. Then we moved that to what we called Chapter 2, which led to like Chapter 13 and 15 and 17 and 26 and 30. I mean, we've done like 100 chapters since then. I always see people tease, what chapter are we in now, Pastor? Chapter 8, which chapter is it? Right now we did that, and that was a lot of fun. And then we shifted our giving and our over and above giving to a thing that really has been who we are as a lifestyle. It's not an event. It's not really some type of a year focus. But as a church, we just decided that we wanted to be kingdom builders. We've seen what God has done the last 19 years. We just said, let's just be kingdom builders. Let's just impact eternity with our tithe, our resource, our time, our talent, our touch, our giving over and above, our offerings. And whether it's at the end of the month, we give a special offering, or many of you know the different things that we made throughout the week, and you give over and above throughout the week, and all the different things that have taken place. And from what you see here on campus, because you're at this campus, so I can speak reference to here, is when you walk outside, when you see that we went from 6 acres to 56 acres, which was a part of that giving over and above. You see the hand of God. You see the result of a people that decide to be generous. It's amazing what can happen when people decide to be generous. Can I have a good amen? So you see the result of it. You drove on a campus today where there's parking. I can remember when we did not have parking, and we actually parked in the grass every single Sunday. Then we had this idea to get crushed stone out here, and we parked in crushed stone, and it tore up every woman's heels. And then when it would blow wind, we would have dust tornadoes all over the property. Women would walk in, and men would walk in with this light dust upon them, and you would think it was the touch of heaven, and it wasn't. It was the dirt from outside. You see all the things that have taken place from raw land. I remember walking this property when it was raw land. Nothing but land. And now you see a world-class developed campus to reach people. During that time, we've gone from 1 to 8 locations. We've been a part of a thing called Association of Related Churches through your giving and your faithfulness and your leadership over the last 19 years, especially these last 9 years. We've been able to plant over 220 churches. Can I have a good amen? All across the United States, and now that's happening internationally. You've seen the missions. You've seen what's happened with School of Ministry. All this has taken place because you've given over and above, and because we talk about living a life of generosity, we've seen you and I be able to respond when there's pain and hurt that take place in our world, like 9/11 or like Hurricane Katrina. We shut everything down for 9 months, and we just gave ourselves to that, just gave about every dollar we had as a church to responding to people that were in need in dozens and dozens of ways. And throughout those different crises, we've cooked hundreds of thousands of meals, and we've served thousands of people through medical outreach, and on we could talk about the different people that you sheltered during Katrina. I don't know if you knew this or not, but over 900 people slept in your campuses during Katrina in one night. It was just amazing that over 45 days we housed people in our campus. I mean, you got to love people when they sleep in your church. Can I have a good amen? I mean, when they live in the church, that's another whole world. And so we went through that as a church, and we see how you responded through Gustav and when the earthquake took place in Japan recently and the tornadoes last year in Joplin and in Alabama. And it's just amazing when people unite to put their resource in circulation for others. It's incredible what can be accomplished. I know just this weekend, we've talked about the past. What about the present? What about right now? Yesterday, our dental unit was out front of the Healing Place Church and the front building, and we opened up our dental unit and had our clinic yesterday. We saw 8 patients and pulled 20 teeth. Can I have a good amen? That was yesterday, just yesterday morning, all for free. Can I tell you this? Let me tell you something. When people walk in with a pain, let me tell you something. When you have a toothache, your whole world shuts down. You've got people walking here in this room to be ministered to in pain, but then they leave with a smile from the inside out. Because not only have they had an encounter with a dentist, they've had an encounter with a dentist that loves Jesus and that is here for free serving them and all the people around them praying for them and loving them. That was a great day for us. We took our generosity and through the campus, through over and above giving, through miracle offerings and all the kingdom building, being able to have a campus and outreach to do creative things. What a great day. But then also we had a great weekend also in Mozambique. Yesterday you were part of 13 couples getting married at one time in Mozambique. Come on, somebody. 13 couples. Pastor Mike was there and Isaac and Earl Rentz. And there's a lot of couples there that have been through some things. Pastor Isaac preached one weekend about covenant of marriage and about the godliness of marriage. And there were men and women there that were living together that just were not in sync with God and just decided they wanted to get married. And because of the cost of weddings and things like that, we said, why don't we do it all in one day? We'll help you get your dress. We'll do a reception. We'll do the music. We'll put the whole thing together. And 13 couples, that's our campus right there in Mozambique. Your church, your people, your spiritual family. What a great day for the kingdom of God. And it's because of generosity. Not just the intent of an idea. Not just the potential of an idea. You can't change the world with just intent and potential. You eventually have to act on intent and potential. We think about that, what God has done. Fires me up. Come on, somebody. I may hit somebody before this church service is over. And again, this year on December the 11th, also throughout the end of the year, we're going to be able to bring our miracle offering again. You and I get to be a part of building the cause of Christ for the next several weeks. Got to be praying. You can't give over and above without prayer. You just won't think about it. It won't be important. So at the end of the year, we receive a miracle offer. A lot of the things I just talked about happen because we give over and above. Because of our campus, the miracle offerings. And I'll talk a lot about this, and we'll do videos to make sure you're well informed about what God has done. But you just think about, I mean, the prayer that goes in to be able to give, to be able to make a difference with your finances. You have to go on a prayer journey or you won't hear the Lord. Your heart won't be open for him to speak. It's too busy of a world. We got too many things going on with Christmas. We got too many things happening in our world. It's hard to hear from the Lord on giving if you're not praying. So I want to encourage you, and I know you will, pray. Start praying right now, leading up to December the 11th, as we bring an offering like we've done for about 9 years, over and above, so we can do all the extra things that we've talked about for the cause of Christ. Then you got to plan on giving. You got to make a plan. Dylan and I already planned. We talked this weekend about our plan to give. One of the greatest offerings we've ever been able to give. Every year I just say, Lord, I want to give one of the greatest offerings I've ever given. It's not always in quantity. Guess what? But it always has to be in quality. So a lot of people say, well, I can't give the amount. It's never about equal amount or equal, you know, things like that. It's always about equal sacrifice. So God doesn't expect you to give what somebody else gives, but God expects you to sacrifice at the same level that somebody else sacrificed. So it's never about zeros and money and check amount. It's always about all of us going on a journey of sacrifice. Why? Because my sacrifice may be different than your sacrifice. And what I need to sacrifice or what you need to sacrifice is all different. And that's what really this is all about. We plan. We prepare. We prepare to do that. I talked to a pastor the other day, and we were talking about miracle offerings or bringing a first fruit offering. He said, what I don't like about those Sundays is it's our low attendance weekend. Do you know what the people in the cafe told me one time? They said, you know our busiest time in the church is during the offering. That's what the girls in the cafe told me. I said, well, I'm going to have to bring a container to the cafe. You say, well, I don't want to come because I have nothing to give. Then you don't understand what you have to offer. You have so much to offer. It's never in the amount. It's always in the heart. It's always in the heart. Prepare to be here on December. Don't say, well, I don't want to be here. You be here that day. Then I think the other thing is to participate. Get ready to participate. Look at your life. Look at your resources. And then I think the other thing that's so important is you expect God to do great things. That's why we're going to be fasting and praying that all week, is because we're believing for the supernatural as we sow a seed. Do you know that your money is not money? Your money is seed. I know that comes sometimes gets abused, but in actuality, your resource is a seed that can change and help somebody else. And I think you got to see it that way. I think that's how you have to see your resources. And I just believe that God is going to do great things like we've been able to do at our kids' district. Last year, you gave a miracle offering. That was not there. You go up there now, and guess what? It's there. Why? Because it's seed. And you planted it, and a whole build-out of a facility grew out of that. And last week, I was preaching to the kids. My goodness gracious, it is one of the funnest environments to preach out of because it is full on the whole time. I mean, I was wore out last weekend. I was more exhausted than 10 Easter services. Because it's just full, whoa, like this the whole time. What's up? I was Coach Rizzo. Let's go! They spoiled me. They're screaming back at me. Yeah! Say amen! Amen! Love it! I'm going to retire early and be a children's pastor at Healing Place Church. I'm going to apply for that job here at Healing Place Church to be the children's pastor. I envy Steve and Gayla Ware, who are the greatest children's pastors on the planet. Come on, you ought to all clap your hands if you got kids in nursery right now, and Jamie and on the team that's back there. It's fantastic. Some of you were here 19 years ago when we started. In that first decade, you did a lot of heavy lifting. And I want to say thank you for that. I want to encourage you. Look what God has done. We're all in this together. We're a family. Some of you have been here for 10 years. You remember when we started Build the Vision, Chapter 2, Kingdom Builder, on and on and on. And I always want to say thank you for that also. your giving. Look what God has done. It's amazing the journey God has taken us on. Maybe you've been here for the last 5 years. You've been able to be a part of the transition and the timeline. And how many times I get up, we're moving in the arena. No, we're not. We're moving in the arena. I'm just joking. We're moving in the arena. Don't remember that. I mean, we went all through. We all went through that together. But you stayed faithful and you didn't quit. You didn't go home. You didn't say, well, I'm giving up. It's never going to happen. Guess what? It happened. Now, what about the people who said, you're never going to move in. We're leaving. We've moved in. Please come back. But I see what God has done the last 5 years. And Delena and I say thank you. Thank you for providing an atmosphere like this for people to come and find Christ. Now think about those who've been in our church just since we moved in the arena. God, what a great time we've had. Thank you for your patience with the parking. Thank you that you've enjoyed a new environment with us. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for helping us to sustain being able to take such a huge step as a church. You know, we moved from 21,000 square feet to 127,000 square feet. That's a big step for a church. We went from almost zero debt to a lot of debt. So that's a big step for us as a church. But we knew that it would serve the purpose of God. So we're working hard, and this miracle offering this year is going to be a lot about addressing some of that debt. How many knows the way you get out of debt is just one day at a time? So as a church, we've been doing that for 15 months, just one step at a time. The miracle offering is going to help us do that. Why? Because not only do we want to give this amazing campus to the next generation, can I tell you one of the goals I have is I want to give it to the next generation debt-free. Yes. So I know that that's a part of my assignment. That's a part of what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. So that's what we're going to do. Many of you have just started coming to church this year. Can I tell you? We need everyone on the journey. God really spoke to our heart back in January. We said we believe that we could do everything God wants us to do this year. If everyone tithed and everyone listened to the Holy Ghost for over and above giving. And I believe that's exactly what God is going to do over the next month as we talk about being surrendered to God and devoted to others. We'll talk more about this. There's a scripture that God really got a hold of my heart on, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And I believe as we've talked about these things, and I'll talk a little bit about what we're thinking about next year and some church planning and rearranging some ministry and some other things we want to do, as well as servicing our debt and relieving some of our debt. I'll talk about that more in detail. And I just know in my heart, the only way we can do it is by being surrendered and devoted. It's fully surrendered life and fully devoted lives. And there's a verse this morning that is our main feature verse. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It says, I desire therefore that the men pray, or that people pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. You know, we just sang arms open wide. I think sometimes we see that and think that that's a church thing, a Pentecostal thing, a charismatic Catholic thing. It's something, but it's not a Bible thing. Do you know that lifting up holy hands is in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Even though you say, well, I'm not a hand raiser. Well, the Bible calls us that there are times of our life where we're to lift up holy hands. You know, it's I've talked to guys before. They've said, well, Dino, you get so fired up. I'm not a rah-rah kind of guy. Yeah, you are. You're a rah-rah kind of guy on the things you choose to be. Kill a big old deer. Yeah! Woo! Take a picture! You're not a rah-rah guy? Make a hole in one. You do the cabbage patch on the green. Everybody is a rah-rah person based on what they like and love. And I think it's cool to be a rah-rah person. Man, if I made a hole in one, everybody's going to know it. If I ever shoot anything other than a button buck, which I shot one time, this is my big kill. Other than my zebra I killed in Africa, we won't talk about that because most of you don't have one of those, so I'm a much better hunter than anyone else in this room. I am the true killer. I would go crazy. But I can't give God less. I can't give God less. Can't give him less than a football game. Can't give him less. Oh my gosh, pair of shoes on sale. Ah! I can't give him less. Everybody is a rah-rah person. It's just what you choose to be rah-rah in. The Bible says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, arms open wide, without wrath or doubting. Someone called this in the early church the posture of surrendered. This verse was referred to as the posture of surrendered. The early church, they said, let's take on the posture of the surrendered. They would lift up holy hands. I love that idea. The first part of this verse talks about praying and worshiping and intimacy with God, lifting up hands, being surrendered. To surrender means you yield the power of, you yield control of, you give up and you give over. You cease to resist, therefore giving way to. You will not give way to God in your life if you're continuing to resist God. You cease to resist. That's what surrendered means, and therefore you give way to. And then it leads to the second part of this verse where it says without. That means you leave behind. It's not on your possession. You don't have this. It's not to be found. Without wrath and doubt. So let me walk you. Wrath means anger or mad at God or bitterness towards God. Doubt means to waver, not sure. That's where there's a trust issue. It's a negative. So let's put this verse together. Paul is saying to Timothy, I wish that everyone would take on the posture of surrender. That when you would pray and worship and you would get before God, you would have the posture of a surrendered life, because you cannot be in the posture of surrender if you have on your possession wrath and doubt. If you have brought with you, if you did not leave behind the wrath and the doubt, the being mad at God, the doubting God, it's hard to be surrendered to God when you are mad at God. Or you're doubting God. He says, you're not going to pray. There won't be a connection. There won't be intimacy. There won't be this stream from heaven that God will do in our soul and in our life. If you come before him still anger and bitter and mad, lay that down, let go of that, get that off of your person and your possession, and then yield yourself to the power of God. Well, what about this, this, and that? Let go of it and take on the posture of surrender. Give up so you can give way to. Because if you don't give up wrath, if you don't give up anger, if you don't give up doubt, you're not going to give way to peace in your life. You cannot get peace in your life if you're still mad all the time. I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm mad, but I don't like where I'm at, but I'm staying angry. How many of you ever had to tell your child, get happy? Well, I'm mad. Well, you better get happy. And you got about 10 seconds to put a smile upside your face, or I'm going to put something upside your... Sometimes God says to us, I understand it, but get happy. Get joyful. Because if you don't let go of that, you're not going to give way to my blessing. You won't give way to it. If you just stay, I'm going to stay angry. God says, you'll stay angry. And you'll have the fruit of that. The posture. We can choose three postures in our life right now. Matter of fact, we've done it for the last 59 minutes since we've been here. Anytime you have an opportunity, you choose a posture with God. And for 59 minutes, we've all chose postures with God. We've chosen maybe the posture of wrath. Here's what I imagine the posture of wrath looking like. It's this. The posture of wrath is fighting. It's where you fight. You close your fist. It's tight. You're punching. You're resisting. It's like you're in a battle with God. Leave me alone. You hurt me. I got hurt by this. I've been hurt by somebody. I'm going to hurt somebody else now. And we choose this posture. We come into worship. We say, God, look what you've done.
Look how you've not been there for me. And we take on this posture of wrath. And some of us have done that for the last 59 minutes. Now it's almost 60 minutes. We came in with our posture, our hands, our... Why? Because what you do with your hands and what you do with your arms, it's a reflection of the heart. That's why he's saying, it's not lifting your hands because I want you to get an arm workout and a shoulder workout, really wanting to see your shoulders get bigger. God is saying, lift up your hands because it reflects what I want to do in your heart. It opens you up. Guess what? You cannot defend yourself like this. Go out on the football field, run around like this. You get blowed up. You ever see anybody getting into the octagon? A little UFC fighting like this? How you doing? Dead. Don't get to go home. This is open. We take on this posture. Can I encourage you today to drop your fist? Yes. Amen. Yes. Don't come into church like this. Yeah. Don't let the first worship song you be like this. Don't approach your wife and your spirit and your friendship and your giving. When I talk about the miracle offering, don't do this. I like to punch pastor for talking about that. Matter of fact, don't tighten up. Don't fight God's blessing in your life. Don't fight generosity. Don't fight giving. Let me tell you something. Selfish people die all by themselves because nobody wants to be around them. They may have their shotgun. They may have their boat. They may have their retirement. But let me tell you something. Nobody, I've been to those rooms. I've stood in the hospital of selfish people. I've been to the funeral of selfish people. It's amazing. Their earthly belongings that they held on to are sold in about 30 days. The other posture the Bible talks about is doubt. When I imagine that, I imagine a pushback where you're pushing back, you're pushing, your clothes or you're folded. It's just kind of, it's folly, it's folding, it's pushing back. It's all this activity that takes place. I don't believe that. God can't do that. We'll see. Go on, we'll see. Let me watch you. And for the last hour and 2 minutes, some have been doing this towards God. We'll see. I don't believe it. Or doing this. Get back. I'm not letting you that close, pastor. I'm not letting you that close, spirit. I'm not letting that song that close. I'm not letting that prayer that close. And we push back and we push back. I've been hurt. I've been let down. I've heard all that before. I don't believe it. We close up. We either do this or we do that. But then the Bible talks about a third posture. That is the posture of the surrendered. It's a yielded position. It's a yielded position of the body that reflects the position and the posture of the heart. So let's all try that together. We're not going to do YMCA. But let's all lift up our hands like this. Everybody, I know, we won't take pictures of you and show it to your Methodist friends. It's okay. You're good. That's how God said, lift up holy hands, the Bible says. That's why Delin leads worship, says lift up our hands. Why? Because during worship, it's better to get close to God that way than this way. Just FYI. So we do this. And then let's do this. Put up your best dukes. Come on, Ken. Don't hurt me right now. I see you, dog. I don't want none. I back off. I yield. But come on. Everybody put your dukes up. Come on. Put your dukes up. Put them up. Everybody throw a punch. Don't hit somebody in the back of the head. Some of you are like karate. Some of you go karate, but listen. Hey, everybody put your dukes back up. Hey, it's hard to worship. It's hard to give. It's hard to serve. You won't buy a ham for a fam or a bike for a tyke if you're doing this. I got hurt. I'm offended. I'm bitter. Yes, which posture? You know, or we could just do this throughout our whole life. Just fold your arms real quick. Just fold your arms. Doubter, just be doubters. Sounds like I'm picking my teeth. Many people live this way. You will not have a marriage that flourishes if you're always looking at your spouse. Always looking at your kids. You'll never be nothing. You'll always fail me. Always looking at life. I'll never have anything. I'll always be broke. My addiction will control me. I can't have freedom. Let me tell you something. It's hard to worship God like this. It's hard to feel forgiven. It's hard to experience peace. It's hard to ever experience freedom. It's hard to know Jesus like this. And so often we feel like we don't know Jesus because we're like this. Can I encourage you to move your hands from here and here to here? There's no tellings what God, you don't know my past. You don't know my pain. You don't know how I have to protect myself. Come on, somebody. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I have to hide. God sees through it all. It's interesting that our Savior died like this. And his arms are still open wide. They're still open wide.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.